Okay, time is now 9:40. Ordinance Committee is now in session. First order of business is acceptance of the minutes that were from the meeting held on March 9th, 2026. Do I have a motion?
Move to approve.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. 4-0, motion passes. Motion, next order of business is approval of minutes from March 23rd, 2026. Do I have a motion on that?
Move to approve.
Motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Last item, moving to approve April 6th, 2026. Second.
So moved.
By
second.
DeLuise. And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. 4-0 again. Okay, first item on the agenda, PCO 13-25 sub A, an ordinance amending procedures relative to transfer of tax title property. This is on for second passage. I believe we went over this a lot. Anyone in the committee wish to have any comment or questions? No one. Anybody from the full council? Members of the public? Ms. Comar, yes.
Thank you. Michelle Comar, Ward 1. So my impression from attending the last meeting where I think someone from the finance department testified and answered my question that the list of properties that were delinquent from taxes long ago, the subject of this ordinance, it was readily available. Come and get one, ask for one. So a couple days later, I think it was on April 8th, I went to the finance department and I said, can I get a copy of the list? And they said, oh, write your name down and we'll get it for you later. So I did that. Well, lo and behold, it ended up on the busy clerk's desk as a public records request. Now, readily available documents are supposed to be able to be picked up when upon request. So this further just makes me believe that this has become a less transparent process than what we have now. I don't know how many people had to go through the public records request. I had to wait the full 10 days. I don't know how you can request that list and be ready to be the first bidder or the first person in, first come, first serve, to buy properties for the back taxes due. Now, next question, how long does it take to get answered? I'm interested in property 1, 2, and 3. What are the back taxes due for each? I don't know how long that answer would get. So I just don't know if this is going to be a fair and transparent bidding process, because that list, the impression I got, was readily available, and I had to wait the 10 days. Not that I have money to spend on properties, but I'm all for the transparency, and I don't see it happening. I'm opposed to this whole ordinance to begin with. I've testified a couple times I'm against it for various reasons. I won't repeat them here. But I don't think it's a good way to resolve these delinquent property tax properties or to generate revenue back to the city. I just don't approve of the method. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Comer. Ms. Austin, go ahead.
Yes. Jane Austin, Chairman of the Warwick Land Trust. The Land Trust has been very interested in this process from the beginning, and concerned that before a new process is put in place to manage or dispose of, tax title properties that have accumulated over decades, that we'd not have a clear understanding, comprehensive database on what those properties are. From our perspective, in looking at the conservation value of these things, as a practical matter, these tax title properties are part of the existing network of our kind of green and open spaces. They have valuable, they've come into into that situation, largely because they're undevelopable in areas where development would be risky or unwise. They're often along streams or waterways and in low-lying areas. By and large, they're largely low risk, low maintenance. Many of them are adjacent to city properties. They have value, although they are not generating tax revenue, they have value. And they have been providing this value and are providing this value now. In terms of resource conservation, habitat, stormwater management, flood mitigation, air and water quality, heat mitigation. They're providing community amenities now and supporting the surrounding property values. So it screams out for kind of a comprehensive look. Now, the Land Trust has made an effort, a preliminary effort to do this by using the city's assessor's GIS mapping. We've overlaid mapping on the part from DEM in terms of the conservation value. We've been able to identify which parcels are adjacent to others, which parcels are adjacent to city property. And when you really look at the data that we have, we find that we've got about just under 1,000 parcels. About 80% of them, or 70% of them, are in areas that have been identified as conservation opportunity areas. We took the maps. We identified those that were in clusters of areas with environmental value, and we were able to identify fairly readily about 40 clusters with about 450 parcels that it would make a great deal of sense for the city to make ineligible for any general assignment. This is just a first pass. We think we've created a pretty powerful, useful, and informative mapping tool, and would be happy to kind of provide it more readily. But there's far more analysis that can go into it. The planning department certainly has a lot of information and knowledge it could add. The existing ordinance for a tax title incorporates the planning department, incorporates the city engineer, the Conservation and Wildlife Commission, in addition to the Land Trust and other financial entities within the city. All of these have something to offer in terms of determining whether the city should abandon its interest in these properties, because they are providing potentially some value to the city. So our request is to find some way to incorporate this information in the city's process moving forward for managing these properties. From the standpoint of the low-hanging fruit that we've identified, we would argue that it would make sense to put them aside in terms of their ability for general assignment now, to continue to develop a comprehensive database. It's a discrete, fixed inventory of on the order of 1,000. That's not a big number in today's database. Databases. It's not something that's going to change dramatically over time. When a tax title sales happen, a few properties will get added. Those can be incorporated in the general analysis, but it seems ripe and appropriate that the city should move forward before it changes dramatically the way it's either managing or disposing of these properties, to ensure that there's some kind of a comprehensive analysis incorporated in that process. And right now, that is not part of, at least, the ordinance that's being substituted for what we have in place. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Austin. So just to kind of reiterate and caveat over what you said, I think your description of your effort is modest.
Yes.
The amount of work that you and your team have put into creating the database, creating the overlays, and just compiling the list, and it's truly remarkable from where I'm sitting. Anyone who has not had the opportunity to speak with Ms. Austin, that's sitting on this council, please take the opportunity to do so and just view what they've been able to compile. It really puts it in perspective, and amazing work. So I thank you for the effort you did on behalf of the Land Trust and with the Land Trust. One thing that I had to keep in mind personally was that this ordinance was docketed to change, and I think at first I jumped on board with, we got to pack all of the things into this one ordinance, and I had to keep straight in my mind that this particular ordinance only deals with the very narrow issue of how do we transfer the title of these tax title properties, just that. And then I think sort of we all jumped on board with, we got to pack all of these other caveats onto it and qualifiers and mechanisms. But I think in discussions with Ms. Austin and kind of ruminating over this over the last several months, I sort of, for myself at least, put it in perspective that made sense for me, that this is sort of the end of the road. When we get to the point of transferring it, this is the process and mechanism to actually transfer it out. So I think sort of reverse engineering this and going back to what Ms. Austin has described as creating a list or compiling a inventory of properties that we should seek to preserve for whatever the beneficial reasons are for everything you just stated, maybe we kind of move back in time now and say, okay, do we need to create a list that creates this ineligibility or at least these items that we intend to not transfer for those conservation effort reasons and sort of to passively protect those from a city standpoint to let them, let sleeping dogs lie as far as those properties go. So I, when we docket tonight, we'll have a docket item relative to accomplishing just that. And however that develops over time, we will develop it. But I would suggest that we get this portion passed, just remembering that this is allowing the city to effectively and efficiently transfer once we get to that point, wherever that remains, and then gets us in compliance with both state and federal law. So it allows the city to function the way it needs to, if and when we ever get to transfer any of these properties off. And then sort of work backwards from there to say, okay, these are the properties that are eligible, if that's appropriate, when we flesh that out in a larger discussion on the council floor. That's my two cents. Any other questions or comments from the members of the public or Councilman Rice?
So I would encourage us to hold this evening, because I really do think that we need to have that process in place ahead of this. I'll give a very simple example. So let's say that we pass this legislation. Well, then it's in place. And what happens once it's in place? Well, it's a clearly defined process of whoever shows up, check in hand for the precise amount, first come, first serves, gets the property. So you can't give away something and then also preserve it, because then you're getting into people's constitutional rights, life, liberty, property being operative here. And then you're getting into a situation of a takings clause situation if we want to try to reverse it and undo it, which I don't want us to become the city of, what was it, New London? Anyways, it becomes a whole huge mess if we cross this bridge. Once you cross the bridge, once you put them up, well, that's it. So a little illustration here. Let's say that we pass this, mayor signs it, I come on down to City Hall with a check in hand, I get the precise amount. Okay, great, I followed the process. I paid that amount, and now I hold that tax title. And if the owner of the rights to that fails to redeem on those, well, now, having paid for the tax title, I can foreclose on the tax title. How to put it? The problem here is that this is all being presented as if none of these parcels are buildable. Well, that might have been the case however many years ago, but things do change over the decades. I'm spotting some properties just, you know, from my knowledge of Ward 2 and from my knowledge of being able to go on GIS. I can't guarantee that they're actually buildable. I don't have that level of expertise, but from a cursory look, from someone who has at least a little bit more knowledge than simply a general member of the public, some of these, they look potentially buildable to me. So, do we really want to let that genie out of the box before we have a chance to allow the land trust to really go through and make sure that those particular parcels that we don't want anybody to snap up and potentially build on or otherwise encumber, even if it's not necessarily building a permanent structure on it, do we really want to let that genie out of the box before we do our full due diligence? We do our full due diligence when we're looking at each and every particular parcel that comes up in front of us for any given city council meeting. But here, we're talking literally hundreds in one fell swoop, and none of us really know all the facts about each and every one of them. And that's after Jane Austen and the Land Trust have spent countless hours looking through these. None of us could possibly know the details on every single one of these without even more due diligence. So I think that we're just acting a little bit too quickly, putting the cart before the horse. For those reasons, I would suggest that we simply hold this for now, make sure we finish up that due diligence. But you know what? If we go ahead and pass this, I've got my eye on a few properties. I'll go ahead, I'll snap them up. Hey.
I'd just like to keep in perspective, too, that these properties have been sitting dormant for years and have accumulated years and years of taxes, gone unpaid, penalties, interest, and to my knowledge, no one's beating down the door to purchase these up. There's no line waiting for this to pass where people are just going to swoop in and snatch them. So I would like to just keep in perspective that point of view. Councilman DeLuise, and then I want to go to the administration.
Chief speaks. I just want to give Michelle a little bit of information. If you have a particular parcel of land, okay, you go to the Treasury Department at the Sawtooth Building, talk to Dave, and within a week to 2 weeks, you will have all your answers. You'll have the amount that in taxes that is owed, the amount in penalties, and if it's $10,000, and you want to redeem that tax title, you pay the $10,000. But to reiterate what Councilman Napa has said, there's nobody beating down the doors to get these properties because most of them are wetlands, okay? Has anyone seen the list that was posted by Ms. Austen? It's a gigantic list, okay? There's 1,400 or more parcels. And you look and it says wetlands, marsh. There's all descriptions, okay? So everybody's worried about developers coming in, snatching up these properties, okay? How long have these properties been on the list? Years. I've researched some properties that went back to the 1970s, okay? So if everybody's worried about the big bad wolf, you know, it's crazy. We need to make decisions. The city needs money. There's no developers coming in snatching up these properties. It just upsets me. People need to really understand what's going on. That's all I got.
Thank you, Councilman. Chief, if you want to give some perspective from the administration standpoint.
So the administration would be against holding this again. This has been held. And right now we have an illegal ordinance. We have met with Jane Austen and her members of the land trust, going over her mapping. We've asked for the share files, the shape files, to be able to integrate it into our GIS. So we have that information as well. We're more than willing to work with the land trust on identifying crucial properties. But to keep delaying this let's add another person to look at it. Right now, in the ordinance, it's at least 10 days notice to the land trust for any property that is newly acquired and newly to be assigned. That's the minimum. We're open to working with the land trust We're not just going to tell Jane Austen and her land trust, sorry, yeah, we don't talk to you anymore. We got it passed. We're done. But you have to understand, to Councilman DeLuise's point, you know, we have a lot of properties that we've had them. They're not going to be jumping off of the tax sale list and into some active development, because most of them are underwater. A lot of the ones that Jane showed us, I believe there were five critical areas that were abutting that had major tracts of land. Those are the ones that we can look at when we have a request for an assignment, saying, you know, where is this property? Well, the land trust provided us with a mapping that it's crucial to them, or it's critical habitat, or it's a critical environmental parcel. We can look at that and then say to the potential developer, you know, maybe this isn't the right lot for you. But we're willing to work with the land trust, but we want to get this ordinance passed as it's written so we can keep moving forward and keep working with the land trust.
Thank you, Chief. Councilman Lattiser.
Councilman
Muto. Councilman Muto, he's deferring to you.
Well, mine's brief. I just want to recognize, just like Councilman Napa, the amount of work that you did, Jane, and your team have done phenomenal work, a great analysis to show where the city can benefit. So, again, I just wanted to publicly restate that and reemphasize what you did was not easy work. And I agree with Councilman Napa that you undersold the amount of work that you did. What you did is very valuable. Moving to the legislation, I'm actually open to holding this because, as people have already stated, that these been on the rolls for 10 plus years. They're underwater. Another 2 weeks, another 4 weeks to put something in the legislation that can secure the concerns that are being raised, I would support.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I actually concur with Councilman Muto in his comments, as well as yours, as well as Councilman Ricks. And I, too, met with Jane last week and had a very lengthy discussion. Received a good education on this because, quite frankly, there are things in here that are above my pay grade. And what I'm hearing tonight is, been hanging around for a long time. These things have been sitting there. The chief said, we can look at these concerns that Jane has. We can talk about it. We can discuss it. As Councilman Muto said, I don't see where another couple of weeks or a month is going to make any difference in this whatsoever. I do have concerns with the things that have been brought to me. Michelle Comar made some very good points this evening. And as I said earlier, sometimes people can put a different spin on things to make me look at things from a different perspective. And this is one item that I find rather complex. And I'll admit it's somewhat above my pay grade in absorbing all of this. And I am going to have to lean on Jane Austen, Michelle, Councilman Ricks's comments, and request that this is held and to look at this completely and totally. The fact that it's said tonight, because there's the conversation about holding it, that we can look at it, we can discuss it more with Jane Austen, that says to me why it's even more important that we hold this. I've heard these things, and I'm not directing this to the Chief of Staff or the current administration. I've heard these things many years over the course of time that says, we'll look at it, we can talk about it, we can revisit it. and after it passes, things don't quite work out the same way. So with that said, I would vote in support of holding this, but I will not vote in supporting it in its current form. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Gebhardt.
I think the most important thing that I heard tonight is that, and the last several times we've heard this, is that the current ordinance we have on the books is in conflict with state and federal law. Every day we continue to leave this ordinance, which we've now multiple times in a public forum acknowledged is inconsistent with state and federal law, continues to expose us to whatever, you know, trouble we could find ourselves in. So I think time is of the essence to bring this into compliance with state and federal law. Beyond that, I think we've heard these parcels have been around for a long time. Tremendous work done by the Land Trust to put us in a position where we can analyze what's out there and package together some of these parcels. I mean, I think something's going to be docketed this evening. I'm not sure what it is, but you know, I think that we should move with urgency to put some of these parcels together that have conservation value and you know are stamped that way by DEM and other organizations. But I think for the reason that they are, they have met the threshold of being parcels of interest or parcels, you know, for conservation, you know, speaks to that, you know, they are inherently not developable, and as they are in, you know, flood prone, low lying, wetland type conditions. So I think the answer here can be yes, and, you know, let's move forward and get our update our ordinance to be compliant with state and federal law, and let's also work on helping to pull together the great work that's done by the Land Trust and turn it into actual action in the city. So with that, if recognized, I would make a motion.
Thank you.
If I could be called on at one point, I'd appreciate it.
Say it again.
I'd like to speak when there's a moment.
Council President wants to talk.
Council President wants to talk. Council President, I'll allow it.
What a sweetheart. So, two things. One, after meeting when Councilman Knapp and I met with James, so I have the docketing memo for the tax title stuff here with me that I already had planned to docket anyway, because my goal was similar to what Councilman Gebhardt just kind of pointed out. We have something that's just straight up not allowed right now on the books. Can't do it. It's unlawful the way it's written. And I have had multiple people email asking, had this passed yet, because they're waiting to utilize it to transfer a tax title. So I can't speak for everyone else, whether or not you've been hearing from people. I have. They've been emailing the city as well, because they copied me. I do not want to be in a position where someone decides to seek court intervention about this, considering this is a right or property interest that they own, and we just straight up don't have a process where they can utilize their right. I would not want to be the attorney representing the city in that regard. That sounds like a losing battle, and I don't want to be forced into fixing this by a court when we've been waiting to fix this for some time now. There, I see no reason why we can't at least tonight adopt a lawful approach, and then, if you want, use what I'm docketing now to change it, to add another layer, do what you will, or docket your own to do the same. We need to have something that's lawful on the books. It's a travesty that we don't. We have the option to fix it. We have discussed this topic ad nauseum from multiple meetings. I get it. There's a lot you can work with it. I mean, Jane has explained it to me at length, and to Councilman Napa at length. It is a complicated issue, and there's a lot going on. I don't think anyone can deny any of that. But what's not complicated is the fact that our ordinance is illegal. What's not complicated is that there are people waiting who have property interests, property rights, and could seek potentially to compel us to let them enforce their rights, which I don't blame them if they did do that, because it's well, at least one of these people has been trying for years to do this. So this is not a good situation. It's one that's easily resolved, and there's no reason to continue to expose the city to liability just because we want this to be, and what in some people's idea is a perfect situation from their perspective, especially when we can immediately change it, or again, add another layer, add another perspective, whatever. Please keep that in mind. Don't take the opinion that if it's not perfect, I won't support it, especially when we can so readily change it, because this isn't the charter, this is an ordinance. To be clear, I vehemently oppose holding it because of that.
Mr. Chairman.
I've got a motion.
Councilman Foley's in New Light. Councilman
sure.
Foley.
I'm sorry, Chair, did you recognize me?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Through the chair to Ms. Austin. Just for point of clarification for me, I haven't been able to hear you well enough. Are you in favor of this, or are you opposed to it?
We do not feel this. We would like to.
I'm sorry, okay. One second. I can't speak in the mic and have my. Go ahead, please.
The Land Trust would like to see a comprehensive strategic approach to managing the properties and has argued that that should be part of the change made to the ordinance, because there are elements from the ordinance that are being lost in terms of transparency and notice and things like the council role. The city has been, in some ways, a benign and passive holder of these titles. We don't know if we change the situation if we get a more opportunistic, predatory, set of participants in the mix. I understand that there's an interest in making sure that our ordinance is consistent with the state law. I think we'd argue if we're not assigning in an illegal way, potentially, and you're not violating state law, you're not creating an immediate danger for yourself. But the benefit of having a list and an inventory adds to the transparency. It certainly makes it workable. The ordinance as it's written now talks about a case-by-case basis, but it's unclear what would happen if someone came forward and said, please give me the information about 50 parcels and calculate the redemption price for me. Does that then become public information or not? So those are general questions that the Land Trust has raised, and as in the process of looking at it, our role really is looking, though, at what the characteristics of these parcels are, what the value is to the city of holding them, and thinking strategically before it relinquishes whatever interest it has in these properties. So we are looking for a more comprehensive solution at this point. Councilman Napa, Council President Sinapi, others have indicated their interest in working with the Land Trust and actually with other entities in the city that would help to identify that whether the city has an interest in holding on to these properties. Does the perfect become the enemy of the good? Or can we be sure that if the statement is made that we can work relatively expeditiously to determine what a comprehensive inventory would look like and set up some protections, that may be the best we can have.
Councilman Foley, you're all set? Does that address all your questions? Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Councilman Lasser.
So now, after hearing more comments, I'm even more confused, because what I'm hearing now is something funny. Okay. Because the comments I'm hearing is that the reason this needs to get done now is because it violates state law. We need to bring this current with state law. Right. So here is a question for anyone that would like to answer it on the city council, including our council solicitor. How does this particular paragraph violate state law? This is the exclusion. It's found on page 4. It's the strikeout of from line 2 down to line 5. And the strikeout says the concurring vote of 4 members shall constitute approval of plans before it for review or for the adoption of any resolution, motion, or other action of the commission. The concurring vote of 4 members shall be necessary for disapproval. Now, I'm not a lawyer.
Councilman, that's the Historic District Commission one.
I think you're on the wrong item.
I am on the wrong item. I'm on PCO 10-26. Okay, so I withdraw my motion on my question.
Okay.
I still don't.
I was very confused when you started reading that.
Thank you.
Are you all set, Councilman?
I am.
Okay, Councilman Muto.
We've had a lot of laughs this evening, haven't we? Just a point of clarification here. So am I hearing that we're not open to any amendments to this ordinance, such as amendments that Council President possibly has, or other amendments that we want to may reintroduce from the original, the sub A, the proposed sub A, or are we just looking to focus just on what's on the table?
I don't know that we can classify anything as a we. I would be in favor personally of passing this as just the mechanism of how to transfer, because that's what this particular ordinance deals with. Mm-hmm. How do we transfer when we get to the point of saying, I want to transfer this to this guy? Mm-hmm. That's what this deals with. What my intention, and I believe Council President Sinapi is going to docket it on both of our behalfs as co-sponsors, is to docket an item to then address what properties, working with the land trust and the planning department and the administration, what properties have the desire of all parties involved to be protected, more or less, and to sort of preserve in a way that, A, we're not taking on liability by ownership to, or taking on the financial burden of maintenance. So we can passively sort of protect those. And I think the development of that list would be more, and codification of that list, I guess, for lack of better terms, would be more appropriate for kind of a precursor ordinance to these items via this ordinance are not eligible for transfer via that ordinance, if that makes my position more
clear. It does. So look, can I just speak it back
to you?
So we have this ordinance, which is the mechanism, and then we have the and then we have the proposed resolution or an ordinance that
or something
someone's going to put together, which addresses the property. Okay.
Correct.
Do we know if that language is agreeable to the land trust, or is this something we need to wait till it's posted?
This is something that we're developing. We just said, let's get it on the docket, and there's a lot of minds involved, and we obviously can't have those discussions in private. So we're going to work ASAP to get something out there so that we can all make it malleable and acceptable.
Yeah. So I'm struggling with if we have a separate solution here and we're just trying to get confirmation and some comfort that this will, we could solve two things with two different votes, why we can't just hold this ordinance for till the next meeting, as well as have the discussion. That way, at the same time, we're solving two conditions that are of concern, because I'm against going with this ordinance without knowing what the other remedy is. But if I knew what the other remedy was, I don't care. I would be for both. So that's what I'm struggling with right now. So without knowing, you know, the remedy that's being provided, and it's only going to cost us two more weeks, I don't know what the rush is.
So I think that's a fair point, Councilman. My other thought that's kind of rolling around in my head is that I believe, because we have the chief, maybe you can illuminate me on this or enlighten me. We have the auction coming up soon.
May 22nd.
So without having this ordinance in place, that would put a potential burden on actually being able to transfer those properties?
So the city, I don't believe, and I don't have the exact date in front of me. I believe it's been since 2014 that we've taken a tax title property, because this ordinance is contrary to state law and federal law. So when properties don't sell at tax sale, they just sit and linger in the person's name. We don't even take them anymore under tax title. So there are no new properties going on the tax sale list because of this. You know, so I'm not sure, I don't know what else to say, but the administration's working with the land trust. We've met three times, two or three times. So I'm not sure where this is coming from, that there's this distrust of whether we're going to do it or not. You know, we're trying to identify the properties. This is a list that's been languishing for some properties, to Councilman DeLuise, you know, maybe even 80 years. Properties have been on this list.
So,
it's. Did you want to say something?
I didn't want to interrupt. I'm sorry. I thought you were done.
No, that's fine. I'm done.
So I can speak to Council Amito's point as well, if permitted.
Go ahead, Council President.
So there's a couple things. One, if we didn't pass this tonight, so let's pretend we go to the May 11th meeting, the soonest the other part could be passed and go live would be June 1st. And then if we change this one at all, it would bump it accordingly, by because we need first and second passage. As far as the status of the other part, so there's a current request of the solicitor as far as what we're trying to do, because there's a legal quandary as part of it. We're trying to figure out how we can do it in a legal way. We don't know the answer as far as what's allowed, what's not. I don't want to cause a similar or adjacent problem to the one we're trying to address now by rushing the other part, because this one's been debated at length over months, as opposed to the other one where it's like, okay, now we need to be ready in 2 weeks. I don't want that. I don't want to kind of squander all the hard work that Jane and the Land Trust have done just so we can say, but we have what it's going to look like at least. I can tell you the general idea as it stands now, because it does pertain to this. Right now, the general idea is to figuring out a way, if there's a formal, lawful way for us to, I say us as in the city, or even it could be the city council, wherever way we end up doing it, assuming it's allowed, a formal way to designate certain properties that are in this bucket as, hey, these properties we don't want to transfer. Even if someone's like, hey, I want to buy it, we're like, no, we don't want to transfer these ones because of either a conservation issue or an access issue, like something, some basis. And then like the other bucket would be like, these are the ones we don't mind, feel free, do with what you wish with those. That would be the goal, is to be able to formalize those two buckets so that they could actually exist, so that there's a process for accessing one or both, and so that there's a clear guidelines as to how it would work. And then if we're not allowed to formalize it, whether or not we could have a more informal one. And I think we've already established, and I haven't even related to you yet because I learned today, Jane, we've already established it seems likely that we can at least do an informal one, which is great. But a I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that we can do it in a formal way, because I would prefer to have something be at least ironclad, so that way we have some assurances, we again as in the city, and that the land trust can know that the property's taken care of, because we're trying to avoid simply taking over the property as a city, because then we have to take over the upkeep and the liability. And if you did that for all these, all it takes is one person falling and getting hurt or something terrible happening on that tiny tract of land, which all happens to be wetlands, which in my mind increases a risk of someone traversing and getting hurt in them. So we don't want to conserve a tiny strip of land with all these good intent just to financially hurt the city severely. It's the opposite of the long-term goal, obviously. But if we can formally have this bucket of property that just sits there that we're not responsible for, that kind of solves all the problems all at once, which would be great. Again, though, is it lawful? He's going to look into it and let us know. We may have to inquire with Attorney Ursillo as well, given that the city is obviously a part of this conversation, obviously, for the very apparent reasons. But that's where we're currently at, is looking at those bucks. And we talked at length with Jane about how we can help make it. Maybe we even have a third bucket as far as property the city actually wants to acquire, and the reasons why that would be. Then that all this is to say, in part, too, why I'm rushing and I'm worried about the prospect of, because as I mentioned before, and as hopefully is apparent by what I've said thus far, it's complicated. There's legal issues all over the place, potentially, and we don't want good intent to end up producing bad results. So I hope that helps illustrate where we're at. If I can address any of the questions, I'll try. I'm not sure, depending on what you're looking for, if we even have the answers yet.
Thank you, Council President.
Mr. Chairman.
Councilman Lattiser.
Now that I'm on the right page, may I continue? Thank you. The thought process was right. I was just on the wrong highlights. So to go back to my comments about the concern here seems to be more with getting the city in line with state law and not being in violation of state law, et cetera. What I have not heard is what language in this legislation, which is being deleted, that violates state law, or is being included to bring us into compliance with state law. And one in particular is line 42. It says, the treasurer shall also send a notice with a request for a recommendation as to whether the city should relinquish its rights to the subject parcel to the director of the planning department, the city conservation commission, the city clerk, the clerk of the zoning board, the tax assessor, the city engineer, the land trust, and the finance director. These recommendations must be returned to the treasurer within 30 days. And it goes on for several other lines. I'm not going to read them all into the record. How does that language violate state law?
Could I do a good question? Point of clarification that may help?
Go ahead, Council President.
Technically, I can't because I'm not on the committee, so it's more like I'm just asking the ability to speak, so I apologize. So the first meeting we had this item before us months ago now, Attorney Ursillo did go through the parts that were problematic from state law and why we were changing what we were changing. The problem is it was so darn long ago that even I can't look at the thing and say, this is the part that's a problem, this is the part that's not. I wouldn't be able to accurately identify it. And that's kind of goes back to my concern. We've been discussing this for so many meetings and so many months that the information is getting so spread out that we can't even keep track of it all. And that's not a dig on you, because I'm in the same boat. I don't remember the specific parts.
So, Mr. President, that's my point, is this legislation, is it only about getting in compliance with state law, or is it also about taking away other aspects in here which have been deleted, which have nothing to do with being in violation of state law.
I can only attest to what I recall as far as the intent stated was to bring it up to speed with state law.
Correct. And that's my point. So if the intent is to bring this up to compliance with state law, are we throwing out the, you know, the baby with the bathwater here to get these things excluded or included when it has nothing to do with violation of state law? That's my concern, and that's why I will not be voting in favor of doing this without further consideration and getting an opinion as to what is necessary to comply with state law that we have in front of us right now. Anything else has nothing to do with compliance with state law. I don't know what it has to do with, but it won't. It doesn't have anything to do with compliance.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions or comments from members of the public? Councilman Ricks, I thought you were stretching your legs.
Well, to be clear, I want to make sure for legal reasons that I am very clear that I am here speaking not in my capacity as a member of the council, but in my capacity as a member of the public. So, and
can I just pause you for 1 second? I don't mean to interrupt, just to get Mr. Solicitor. Is this a fresh 10 minutes, just so I can keep it on my end?
It would circumvent the rules. Every person doesn't have an opportunity for a double dip of multiple bites at that apple. So the time that committee members as well as member of the public is set at that 10-minute standard, so it would be inappropriate to allow a second bite here.
Fair enough. Thank you. Go ahead.
I'll try to keep it brief. Famous last words. So my point here in speaking as a member of the public is
5 minutes. not waiting to it.
I'll keep it to 5. Thank you. Yeah, my point here in speaking as a member of the public is that any member of the public, myself included, should this ordinance pass, be signed by the mayor into law, can go ahead, go down to City Hall, and request that grand total that would be due for the amount to be written out in that check, present that check, and then that really leaves the city with two choices. They can either go ahead, go through the process of perhaps preserving the land, working with the land trust, that sort of thing, otherwise, or otherwise keep that land off the sales market, or their one remaining choice is to go take that offer of the first person who presents that check. So it puts any single member of the public in that position of effectively, okay, the land will either stay as it is, vacant, held up with the tax title issue, or one person exclusively has that ability to move forward should the city wish to offload that property. So what's to stop a member of the public such as myself, and I say that because I actually do plan to do this if this goes through, from going straight to City Hall, requesting the grand totals, and then being ready the instant that that grand total comes back, having that check in hand to be able to present, because based on my knowledge and based on some additional vetting, I would, as a member of the public, certainly be putting in those offers where I'm seeing the potential for these properties to be turned around at a massive profit. A lot of those properties are ones that I would wish to be preserved, and so therefore, I might just go ahead, do that, and then preserve those properties. But on the other hand, any member of the public, myself included, you know what? When you see six figures of potential profit right there, that is awfully tempting. And so my thinking is maybe the city should be a little bit cautious before giving anybody that kind of power, especially when we are talking about properties that have been sitting there for quite some time and aren't going anywhere. That also raises a point, too, as to the point that the council president made earlier about time effectively now being of the essence, and that because of the lack of compliance with state law, that raises some legal issues of members of the public trying to compel the process to move forward. Well, seems like some people are banging at the door. And then if you have multiple people making that request and one person gets a response with that grand total any period of time before any other person, well, that's really creating an issue for the city right there in terms of, did everyone really have equal opportunity to be presenting that check? Who, even if, let's say, multiple people were making that request for that total of, okay, I have the blank check ready, tell me the number to write. So I really think that we should have the process all in order, because otherwise we're opening up the city to liability there too. That's all for my public comment. I'll return to the
Thank seat. You, Councilman. Do we have a motion?
Move favorable action.
Second. We have a motion, we have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Hey.
3-1, motion to move favorable. We are moving along.
Can you go to number 3?
Sure. If there's no objection, I'd like to move to number 3. Any objection to skipping an item and going back? Seeing none. Item number 3 on the list, PCO 11-26, an ordinance amending the Code of Ordinances to eliminate the Personnel Hearing Board and provide appeals to the City Personnel Director. This was docketed by Council President on behalf of Mayor Picozzi. Council President, your pleasure.
So I'm going to defer to the administration, but at one point, I do have an amendment that I want to introduce before the full council for this that I've already discussed with the administration on.
This one?
Unless I'm thinking of the wrong one. Yeah.
Okay, so there's a request to go move this to the floor without recommendation for purposes of amendment. Do I have a motion?
Move this to the floor without recommendation.
Motion is to move the floor without recommendation. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Councilman Galois. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Councilman Ricks?
Aye.
4-0, motion passes. Going back up one to item number 2, PCO 5-26, an ordinance amending section 64-5 of the Code of Ordinances relative to compensation of other officials, docketed by Councilman Gebhardt for first passage. Councilman Gebhardt.
This one we moved behind the second one because the outcome of this of the one we just heard will impact this one, so why don't we move this to the floor without recommendation as well.
Okay, motion to move the floor without recommendation. Any second on that? Councilman DeLuise, second.
Second.
And all those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
4-0, motion passes. We're moving to the floor without recommendation. Time is 10:38. Ordinance is now adjourned.
Would the Finance Committee please reconvene?